you got them to respond digitally, I can't think of any reason not to follow up with them with some sort of physical mail, you know, something they can actually hold and feel like your marketing message in their hand, because those multiple touch points are key, especially if you're selling something expensive or complex. You know, those multiple touch points are key.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today in studio, I've got joining me Ryan Cote. Now, he is the Director of Digital Services and Partner at Ballantyne, which is a third-generation family-owned direct mail and digital marketing company based out of Fairfield, New Jersey. Ballantyne's been in business since 1966, and Ryan joined them in 2003. They work in areas from lead generation to marketing strategy for large and small businesses, as well as not-for-profits. Ryan and his company rise above the get featured quick schema so they can attribute success to your digital marketing campaigns. He loves to geek out on technical marketing talk, so I'm sure we'll have a great conversation today, as well as real world business owners and helping them to grow their business. So welcome to the Real Marketing Real Fast podcast today.
Thanks, Doug. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, looking at your background and looking at your website, I got super excited because I love both direct mail and both digital. And I do a lot of work in email, and people say email's dead. I hear people say direct mail's dead. And obviously, that's not the case. So do you want to expand a little bit about your role and what you guys are doing?
Yeah, happy to. So I started in the company, like you said, 2003. My role back then, because we didn't have digital in the company then, my role then was marketing. So I did marketing for the company, you know, trade shows, SEO, the website, you know, various things. So I basically, my job was to get leads for Ballantyne. And then about 5 years ago, I brought the idea to my uncle and my father that, you know, we should start doing digital for clients as well, because we were doing direct mail and creative. And I thought we should start doing digital. And so, you know, that's when the digital department was launched 5 years ago. Back then we just did search engine optimization, because that was my skill set, my strongest skill set. So that's what I was most comfortable with offering. But fast forward today, we have a team of now 9 on the digital side, and we do everything from social media to content, SEO, paid search, email. And so it's really exciting.
Well, do you want to walk us through maybe a case study or an example, of how you guys have been able to combine the two? I mean, I just was on a podcast the other day, and we're talking about direct mail and how much I love it, because there's very little competition in the mailbox these days on the direct mail side.
Yeah, I mean, like you said in the intro, the direct mail, everyone says it's dead and the email's dead. It's not dead. It's just changing. Direct mail has gone through many, many changes versus back in the 80s and 90s. So we still do a ton of it. It's just different, different technology for the printing presses, different strategies. So that's direct mail's not dead. It's just changed. In terms of a case study though, in blending both print and digital. So the one that comes to mind is, we usually do it every year. It's a fundraising campaign for a client of ours. That's a school. And basically the campaign consists of postcards and email and then personalized URLs. And so, and it's staged, like the postcards go out and then the emails go out, and then the personalized URL redirects are on both the print and the digital. And so they both all work together. So the person, essentially what's happening is the alumni, they're getting the marketing message in their inbox, in their mailbox, and everything's tracked with the personalized URL redirect. And so far every year we've exceeded the fundraising goal. So that's been really exciting. And I think big part of it, and they're doing other stuff too. They're making calls, so it's not just us. But I think a big part of the success is that, the alumni are seeing this fundraising campaign, everywhere. They even do social media about it as well. They handle it themselves, but so it's really everywhere. And I think that really integrated approach, being everywhere, helps succeed their goals.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I found. I found that there really is no one holy grail. If there was, that's where everybody'd be. And I found that the best results we've ever seen really come from a combination of a variety of digital, email and direct mail. And we've done all of them together. But for our listeners that aren't familiar with the term that you you use there in terms of personal URLs, do you want to explain what a personal URL is in direct mail and how that works and ties into the digital side?
Yeah, absolutely. So personalized URLs, it's basically, there's two ways to do it. I'll explain how we typically do it. Well, I'll explain both ways, but and then I'll tie into how we usually do it. So personalized URLs, they are, it's basically a website address. So like your domain.com, it's like valentine.com, but with your name in it. So /John Doe. And there's two ways to do it. When the person visits their personalized URL, it's unique to them. It's kind of different. Though it's not as different nowadays, but it's still different. You don't see them a lot. When they go to their personalized URL, you can either take them to a customized landing page that has their name on it, a pre-filled out form. You can swap out images, copy. There's a lot of things you could do with it. How we typically use it, though, is what's called a personalized URL redirect. So it's still, you know, the domain.com/John Doe. But when they visit that when they visit their personalized URL, it just redirects them to whatever website you want, typically your main website. The reason you do it, though, is because you know that John Doe visited the website. So with a typical direct mail campaign, you always have your website address on it usually, but you don't know how many people. You don't know who actually visited. You just know how many people visited. With a personalized URL redirect, it functions the same way as just putting your website on there, but then you know specifically who visited the website. And the advantage there is, if you have a sales team, you're sending out postcards or self-mailers or whatever, and you have the personalized URL redirect on there, you can essentially feed that team semi-warm leads. Like, okay, here's who got the direct mail piece, and here is who visited the website, call them. And that's the biggest advantage of the redirects.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it gives your sales team more intelligence. So instead of calling everyone on the list, you're calling the people who are the warmest, the quickest. And I know we've done both. The main feature that we've used before when we've used someone like you guys for direct mail is that we've sent them to a personalized page because we found that, if we're going to go to the effort of sending them a custom direct mail piece that's personalized, we might as well, send them to a web page that will convert and look the same as well.
Yeah, that can be very effective.
That's really cool. So in terms of putting these two, mediums together these days, where are you guys getting the most pushback? Like, where do you think what people say the biggest myth about running this type of marketing in today's Snapchat world lies?
I think the biggest issue, honestly, is that typically it's, if you're looking at the, so for us, the clients, the direct mail team and the digital team, they're just two different teams. So it's really a coordination, I guess, of all the different teams that need to be involved. It's us, it's a direct mail team, and it's the digital team. So I think that's the biggest issue, is that there's generally not one central person. You have to coordinate all different teams, different schedules, and that can cause obstacles because it creates schedule delays, and that's no good.
Well, no, I think you're right. I mean, it also, you've got a couple different parties. So, my experience was I needed to work with a direct mail house that understood the pearls and the digital side that understood it, so we could get, the two work together seamlessly.
Yeah, exactly.
So in terms of direct mail today, are most of your clients that you're working with coming to you with their house list? So the example you gave where you would email and direct mail, are they bringing a house list, or are they renting data for new acquisition?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's really a combination. So typically our clients will have both their house file and their customer list, prospect list, and then they're also renting names for acquisition. It depends on, like, a lot of our fundraising clients, they have like their donor lists, and that's typically what they're mailing to. Sometimes they'll do acquisition campaigns to find new donors, but a lot of times they're mailing to a list that they've cultivated of donors that have given the past 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. But I would say for the majority of our direct mail clients, and this is just for us, Doug, because on the direct mail side for Ballantyne, we typically work with very large companies. And so they're always renting acquisition files, trying to find new customers. And they have their own in-house list too, but they're always searching for new customers. The smaller clients, they typically are mailing, they're basically mailing to their house file that they've built up, their database.
Okay. Yeah. Well, most of my experience has been renting data. So we would look for maybe, you know, the highest quality data we could get. So they might be paid subscribers to a financial newsletter. Yep. And we'd rent the direct mail list, the phone list, and then the email. And like you said, then use, you know, multi-channel approach to go out there and get in front of them.
You know, one thing we haven't actually tried yet is, I'm just throwing this out there as an idea for someone to run with. I'm not sure if it's possible, so you'd have to speak with your list broker meaning the person you rent the mail file from. But when you're renting a mail file with email, you technically could upload that email file to Facebook, and then basically you're running Facebook ads to the same people that are receiving your direct mail. We've done that with house file mailings because they have the permission, it's their data, so they can run Facebook ads. I'm not sure how the list broker would feel if that counts as like an additional touch point, but that'd be pretty neat. So basically you're renting an acquisition file to find new customers, you're getting their email, and then you're running Facebook ads to them from the emails matching, and then you're sending them mail to their postal addresses.
Yeah, I mean, with the email site, it doesn't work because you don't get access to the list. It's kind of funny because, you know, you understand this because you're in the business, but direct mail always had, you know, the list broker always had this great relationship with the list owner, and there's only one broker per direct mail list. With email, they haven't done that. It seems like just about anyone can broker the email list, but you never get access because the list owner does the sending.
Yeah, and whenever they offer to give you the list, you know, that's probably been spammed or abused to death.
Yeah. So what we do to add on to what you're saying is we would pixel people when they hit the landing page or hit the click through redirect on the Pearl.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And so then you can Facebook and Google advertise to them.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
So what do you see coming down, you know, in the future? So you guys have been doing this for three generations. You've obviously done a lot of things right to keep it a family business and to keep plugging along. So, you know, what are you most excited about in the next 6 to 12 months?
I mean, we're seeing it's a few things, Doug. You know, we're really excited about the advertising platforms, how sophisticated they're getting, you know, with the targeting that you have access to. You know, things are changing with Facebook, but you still look at, you know, Twitter and programmatic and all these different channels that are popping up, and LinkedIn, you know, their advertising platform's getting a lot stronger. So it's exciting to see where that's going. And video, obviously, which I'm sure, you know, everyone says, but it's true. Video is really exciting.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
There's a lot you could do with it. And then for us, it's really, you know, it's really the integration of all the channels. So I get really excited when we get a new client that is using us for multiple strategies, and not because it's a bigger engagement. That's nice too, but it's also because then the whole team here is engaged with the client. You know, the SEO, the paid search, the social content, you know, the whole team is working together on one client. And I find that really exciting. I love seeing it. And also it's typically the results are better for the client. So it's a win-win. So that's, you know, for me, you know, that's what I get really excited about. And, you know, in terms of the next 6 to 12 months, yeah, I think I'm excited to see where the advertising platforms are going. And then I'm excited to see where video is going as well.
Yeah, it's moving so fast, and I kind of feel bad for the video guys because they've been saying for 20 years to do video, but now video really, truly, finally has come into its own.
Yeah, and there's so much you could do with it. You know, advertising on YouTube, upload to Facebook, Instagram, you know, Twitter. There's this, you know, you got one piece of content, and you put it on your website, of course. You could put it on YouTube, rank it in Google. You got one piece of content. You could do so much with it, and it's a really engaging piece of content as well.
So do you find working, you know, with your clients, do you find it's easier to take a digital client and expand their dealings with you guys to include direct mail? Or do you find it's easier to take a direct mail person and also add your digital side?
Well, that's a great question.
I'm just kind of wondering what their mindset is, because I know lots, when I talk about direct mail, people look at me funny. They're going like, direct mail, really? And going, yeah, we send mail and people phone us. That you'd think we sent them a gift card to Starbucks. It's like, we just sent them a letter. But that gives an example of, you know, how rarely they get a letter other than a bill.
Yeah. So this is going to be, so this is based on, and I'm not sure if this is gonna be a great answer. So feel free to, you know, edit this out if you want, but with Ballantyne, our print clients are very large. And on the digital side, we like to work with small business owners where we are having a real meaningful impact on their business. And so, you know, the direct mail clients might view our digital team as too small to work with them. They might have a marketing team that's bigger than our entire digital team here. On the print side, though, you know, On the digital side, I mean, we get a lot of digital clients that come to us for print, even though it's not our ideal work, like small brochures or small business card runs or what have you, letterhead. But they come to us because they don't know where else to go. It's kind of like foreign territory for them. And we still like to help them out. Of course, we want them coming to us for everything. So right now with the way Ballantyne's set up, we get a lot of digital clients ask us for, small run print orders. On the direct mail side, we've had some, of course, a lot of associations, a lot of nonprofits, but generally speaking, they're focused, we're their production team, their direct mail production team. That's what they look at us for. Hopefully that will change. That's like the 5-10 year vision here. But as of right now, that's the story.
Well, what advice would you give our listeners who are, in the digital space and are saying, hey, we're always looking for new ways to increase our sales? And I looked at some of the numbers on your, on your website. When you see numbers like, hey, surpass our fundraising goal by 150%, obviously that it's working. So for the people who are hardcore digital guys and have never considered adding direct mail to their media mix, where's a good place to start?
Yeah, I would say a great way to start, honestly, is just you're starting small, obviously. And the way to start small is postcards. I know it's not like a sexy answer, but I mean, they're inexpensive. They can be effective. And then if you add the Pearl redirects onto them, then you're building up a nice warm list. It depends on your business, of course. That might not be applicable, but I think postcards. The only thing I would add to that, Doug, is that you have to have a budget to commit to at least monthly mailings, because with direct mail, and it's similar to digital, it's not a one hit thing. You have to continually send out the mail, monthly is ideal. And then optionally throw that Pearl redirect on there so that you're developing a list of people that are engaging with your direct mail so that your sales team can follow up with them. I think if you do that way, using the Pearl redirects, you have a better chance of getting a positive ROI because you're developing that list of interested, prospects.
Now, do you guys handle the back end side in terms of website integration with the Pearl and the client's database?
Typically not. Like a CRM you're referring to?
Yeah. Like, would you help them with the integration? So, someone comes to you and says, okay, I heard your podcast. I thought it was cool. We're doing digital. I'm interested in the Pearls. How would you help them to execute that?
I mean, we can set up the Pearl, we set up the Pearls for them. We can do the landing page route where we're creating a personalized landing page. If they have a CRM that allows for an embeddable form, that ties into their CRM, we can obviously add that. It's pretty simple. We don't do a ton of like sophisticated database work though. That's not really a service that we specialize in.
No, and I was just thinking, you answered the question. I was really thinking, so someone comes to you and says, hey, I've got this data already and I want to integrate it. What else are you finding is working in direct mail? So we talked about postcards. Are people still mailing Magalogs?
Magalogs, yeah. More Slim Jim Magalogs, which is like a pint-sized version of the Magalog. It's basically half the size, not exactly, but it's a slimmer version of a Magalog. And we still get a lot of those, catalog work. On the direct mail side, we do a lot of work with travel companies. So, that they love the Magalog, catalog, booklet, Slim Jim type work. We do a ton of self-mailers, number 10 packages that look, those business envelope type packages.
Yeah.
See a lot of clients experimenting with, the paper from like the touch, the soft feel coating that makes the paper feel really nice. We're even, for some clients experimenting with really sophisticated direct mail, like video mailers, or basically like self-mailers. And when you open it up, a video plays. Obviously those are very small campaigns because they're expensive, but those are super engaging. And even like premiums, those are nothing new, but we still see clients doing a lot of them. So mostly nonprofits, but like seed packets, bookmarks, things that can make the mail a little bit lumpy so it gets opened more. We see a lot. just a ton of if I showed you our sample wall, there's just a plethora of different formats on there that clients experiment.
I haven't heard the term lumpy mail in a long time. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that because people open it. I mean, I still love and still like direct mail. And my favorite approach really is a multi-step. So we would mail, not unlike a sales funnel. So listeners, if you're wondering when I'm talking about multi-step, you run people through a sales funnel of different offers. We would do the same thing with direct mail and you'd continually send to the non-openers or the non-responders until the phone rings or they give you their credit card number.
One more thing to add to that too. Is like we see a lot of like the envelopes that are see-through, clear. We're seeing those come back more, doing a bunch of that type of those type of envelopes. You can see the see what's through. Big, large envelope windows. You know, just a lot of different ways to tweak direct mail.
That's really cool. I mean, you know, I don't know why people keep moving to the shiny object, you know, when you still got the, you still got direct mail that still brings in the numbers, you know, that combination, like you said, with email and the phone. I mean, I get the social stuff, but what we found personally is that we don't get enough lift with social. We haven't got, have been able to build a large enough following for clients or even hire enough influencers with enough lift to get ROI. But we always found that with direct mail, email, and phone that we could kind of get move the sales dial.
Yeah, I mean, social media is tough because, you know, as you know, it's early stage and, you know, early cycle. They're not, in terms of the buying cycle, they might not have a need. Whereas with like paid search and SEO, they're going to Google, they're typing in keywords. So they're a little bit later stage and they're looking for something. Social media, yeah, I mean, we can get in front of the right people, the targeting that's available to us. But we have no idea what their, you know, what their needs are. But, and you know, what we found with like for Facebook, for example, getting email opt-ins, that's worked pretty well for us, you know, running lead gen ads on Facebook to capture emails. And then also trying to segment out the different audience that you have. So, you know, trying to get fans on Facebook to develop a list that we can advertise to more cost effectively. And then from there, trying to get either their email or get, you know, some sort of like next step. That's worked pretty well for us. But I agree that, you know, when you compare social to like direct mail or email or SEO or paid search, it tends to generate less leads. At least that's our experience. I'm sure there are social experts that might argue otherwise, but that's been our experience.
Well, I think it's also because the data is more mature. There's more data. So if we were to do a direct mailer for a financial client, we might, you know, set up an email campaign or run 4 weeks of email at maybe, you know, $100,000 a week. And then we'd put together a direct mail campaign of like a million megalogs and then send those. And of course it was, you know, results were in and worked really well.
Yeah.
So looking at kind of the future of direct mail and digital, what do you guys, is there another case study you can share on maybe something that's not a not-for-profit? I see that you work in the financial area. You work in a lot of different sectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely can. I can share a few quick. These are more digital wins, I guess you can call it.
Okay.
Stuff we've done for clients. And so with one home improvement client that we work with, they've been a client for 4 years now. They were doing, their marketing budget was heavy into print ads, and not to knock print ads in this particular case, it wasn't working for them. And so they shifted a large majority of their print ad budget into digital, you know, all Facebook, SEO, paid search content, everything. And they saw a lift of about 160% in their revenue the first year of doing it. So that was pretty exciting. Another quick little case study, and shows the way you can kind of think out of the box with digital because there's so many things you can do with it. We have a chemical distribution client and they've been a client for about 4 years as well. And we were doing SEO for them. We still are, and a little bit of content, some AdWords, but we noticed that they had this gigantic list of products on their site. It was just basically one page with like 2,000, here's like 2,000 products we can offer you. It's just a gigantic page. And we said, well, why don't we develop a content strategy around those products? So every month we'll knock out maybe 10, create content around what each chemical is, what it does, uses, what have you, optimize the pages for SEO. And the goal there, the strategy there was trying to rank for really long tail buyer terms. So if someone's looking for this chemical, you know, it might only get a very small handful of searches every month. But when you know if someone's searching for that, they're likely a good candidate, a good lead, a good buyer for them. And that really increased their lead gen substantially to the point where they had to hire a second salesperson to handle the lead flow.
That's a great problem to have.
Yeah, it is a good problem to have. It is. It's a very.
We have so many leads, we need another salesperson.
I know. It's not something you complain about, but you still do, though, because it's very stressful, but it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, well.
And the third little quick case study, Doug, is we have an insurance client. They have, and they sell all your typical lines like business insurance, homeowners, auto, but then they also have these specialty lines. And so when we started working with them, we advertised most of their products. And I think it was way too diluted. And, you know, it just, I don't think we wanted to see what would react the best. And we noticed that one of the specialty lines really in terms of leads it was like far and above the best performing product that they had. And so basically we shifted like 80 to 90% of the budget towards that one specialty line, and it just went gangbusters. We tripled their lead flow, and not that they can't sell the other services, the other products. They get them for this one specialty line, but that business owner is going to need other stuff too. So you kind of get them in the door with that one product that did well, did the best in terms of leads, conversion rates, and then when you get them as a customer, you sell them on the other products. So it ended up being a really, really big win, and we're actually still executing that strategy because it's still working for them.
That's really cool.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on direct mail after a digital opt-in? So, you know, we run a lead gen campaign, or someone runs a lead gen campaign, and people opt in, about following up right after that with a postcard or a mailer.
I can't see any downside to it, because, you know, as you know, multiple touch points is key. So if you got them to respond digitally, I can't think of any reason not to follow up with them with some sort of physical mail, you know, something they can actually hold and feel like your marketing message in their hand, because those multiple touch points are key, especially if you're selling something expensive or complex. You know, those multiple touch points are key. We're even starting to experiment with, you know, when someone hits the website, sending them a postcard. We've only done a few campaigns, so I can't give you any really hard, really strong case studies, but I think it's technology that's really starting to bloom. And there's companies out there that do a lot of it, but that's pretty exciting. So you're, you know, someone's hitting your website, and then they're getting a postcard in the mail from you a few days later. And from the few campaigns that we've done, we've seen, you know, some pretty positive results. So we're going to try to build on that and really develop it as a strong offering here at Ballantyne.
That's really neat. So stealing a line out of one of Tim Ferriss's books, what's some of the bad advice you hear in your industry?
Oh, bad advice I hear in my industry.
So I'm not asking you for bad people. I'm asking you for that. You know, I'm sure you guys go, you know, you're involved in the community. You've been around for a long time, so you're involved in the community and the direct marketing community. And lots of times I'm out and I'll hear somebody say something and it just makes me cringe. I'm thinking, that's bad advice.
Yeah, I mean, so with my background with SEO, and as you know, SEO has gone through so many changes. I still hear very bad advice in terms of like keyword stuffing and you know, creating duplicate content on your site, and just, you know, there's so many pitfalls with SEO, and there's still a lot of bad advice circulating around there, because honestly, it's changing so often that it's hard to keep up with it if you're not really paying attention. So I always hear a lot of bad advice around that, around like keyword stuffing and building, you know, bad links like private blog networks. You know, that's probably what I would say that comes top of mind for me, for, you know, in terms of digital.
Okay, and what about the direct mail side?
Direct mail side. Really, I think it comes down to understanding the presses that you're running on, because different sizes of a mail piece can really impact the price. So you can get a lot of bad advice from an agency that might not understand the presses as well as they should. So different sizes, like I said, different mail piece sizes will fit differently on a press, which impacts the price greatly, because it affects how much paper you're using or wasting, and that can really have a large impact on the price that you're paying. So see a lot of bad advice around the formats that are recommended, because, you know, a format needs to be print efficient, needs to be press efficient in order for it to be cost effective. And so we see a lot of bad advice around the formats that are being recommended for direct mail, the sizes, what have you.
Well, and we talked a little bit before we started recording today, and, you know, you shared who some of your larger clients are. So it sounds like you guys are a pretty high volume printer. So like you said, if you probably got the right equipment, so it would be pretty cost effective to run just about any size piece, I'm guessing, with the stuff that you're running on in your print shop.
Yeah, I mean, so and so for full transparency, we're actually a print broker, so we don't have equipment. We used to in the 80s, but it wasn't when you own a piece of equipment, you're kind of confined to what that equipment can do. And so sometimes you'll see companies forcing different formats because that's what their press can do. You know, with us, we have a network of about 25 plants. Many of them are family owned like us, where you have direct connection right to the owner. And so, you know, that's really helpful. But it's...
Yeah, no worries. I mean,
what was I talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I work with a local print broker. We are up in Canada, and I know that she sources printing all over the US and actually through Asia and all different places, depending on what the client wants.
Yeah, you have to find the printer that has the right equipment to do the job cost effectively. And that's essentially what we do here. And so, you know, that's our business model. And you, do you remember the old AOL mailers and the old stamp sheets for Columbia House back in the day?
Yeah, I do.
We used to do all those. So whenever you got those in your mailbox, that was coming from Ballantyne. I get a kick out of that.
That's really cool. Yeah, I was at a email marketing conference in Las Vegas, and I met the digital marketing person from Publishers Clearinghouse based out of New York. And I'm thinking, man, that was a long time ago as well, where you saw all that sort of stuff that showed up at your doorstep.
Yeah, the sweepstakes type mailings. Yeah, used to get a lot of those.
Well, cool. Is there anything you want to add or share before we kind of wind down, let you get back to your busy day?
Yeah, I guess we basically created a landing page for your audience, and there's a special offer on there if anyone's interested in getting a free digital audit of their website via video. Basically, we go through your website, what you're doing via video, and just give you advice about what we see, good and not good. If you go to ballantyne.com/RMRF, which stands for Real Marketing Real Fast, RMRF, you'll see the offer there. And also, we'd love to connect with anyone on LinkedIn. There's my LinkedIn profile there as well. And yeah, I really appreciate you having me on, Doug, and I appreciate everyone listening.
Well, I appreciate your contribution. I mean, I love the direct mail. I like the fact that you guys are doing DM and digital and growing your digital side as well. I did see that you guys are heavy into social. Like to see that you're on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's been a huge win for us connecting B2B as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love LinkedIn. My goal in the next 12 months is to get more involved in LinkedIn Pulse, their blog platform, just to create content for it. Yep. And I'm not sure what to expect, but I think that's something I've never tried it before. I see a lot of people using it. It's something I want to experiment with. So that's my next experiment for marketing.
There you go. Something else to add to your already busy plate.
Yeah, right.
So who's one guest you think I absolutely have to have on my podcast?
All right. This is going to sound like a shameless plug because it's my brother. My brother, Matt, who's on the print side. So he went to school. So my thing is digital. I'm on the digital side. I mean, I could talk about direct mail as we've been talking because I've been in the family business for the last 15 years. So I'm always around it. But he's like, he went to school for it. He does it day in and day out. He does some very complicated stuff that I don't know how he does. And so if you really wanted to get into the weeds of direct mail, technology, paper, finishes, what have you, he'd be your guy.
That'd be cool. I mean, it's really about moving the sales dial. And I think that lots of times people think, oh, direct mail is sending a letter or sending this. And I'm not going to bore you with the stuff that we've tried. But with some finesse and the right people, you can make a huge difference with not necessarily changing your cost, but just changing your approach, your format, like you said, your colors, the paper, the whatever. So that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to say thanks so much for taking time out of your day. It was great to connect. Super excited to see that you guys as a family have been working together for three generations. That these days is just, it's miraculous to to see that happen.
Yeah. I've got my cousin coming on board actually here, and we're recording this end of August. He's coming on board October of 2018. And so now it'll be myself, my two brothers, my uncle, my cousin, and my father was here up to December, but he retired. So it's been a long run. So now it's our job to keep it going for another 50 plus years.
There you go. Well, thanks listeners for tuning in. This is another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. I'm super excited to have this type of conversation and to talk about, what might people might think is old school. So email, digital, and print, and how they all come together. So as usual, we will transcribe the notes. I'll make sure that we've got all of Ryan's contact information, his website, his URL, and all that information on our site for you, as well as a link to the offer for a free website audit. I checked out the page. It looks pretty cool to get a video audit and feedback. So make sure you click through to the show notes and do that. Also subscribe to our email list if you want to keep up to date and see what guests are on coming on and what's new and exciting in the marketing world. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to serving you on our next episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.